The following podcast will contain spoilers and explicit language.
Martin couldn't be here tonight, so I got my friend Kevin to fill in.
Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of...
Yeah, It's That Bad.
My name is Joel.
And I'm Kevin.
This is the show that looks at supposedly bad movies and asks the question, is it really that bad? Well, what that boils down to is that we look at movies that are rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, and we reevaluate that score. Does it really deserve to be so low?
Tonight's movie is 1998's Lost in Space, directed by Stephen Hopkins, starring William Hurt, Mimi Rogers, Heather Graham, Lacey Chabray, Matt LeBlanc, and Gary Oldman. This movie is based on the 1965 TV show of the same name. This film currently holds a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. How about a quick plot synopsis?
In the year 2058, the Earth will soon be uninhabitable after the irreversible effects of pollution and global warming. Professor John Robinson, lead scientist of the Jupiter 2 mission, will lead his family to the habitable planet Alpha Prime to prep it for colonization. The Jupiter 2 is equipped with a hyperdrive that allows faster-than-light travel, which will eventually be employed to evacuate the citizens of Earth. However, hypergates must be constructed on Earth and Alpha Prime to provide stable points of departure and arrival. Dr. Zachary Smith is bribed by a terrorist organization to sabotage the mission and ends up an unwilling stowaway as the ship blasts off.
Okay, Kevin, you and I have a bit of a checkered past with this movie.
Checkered?
I would say so. It's kind of a shady history. Tell the people at home like what our history is with this movie.
I mean, I don't think it's shady. I think it's the roots of our friendship that has lasted over a decade. I mean, this was the first time that we did something like as quote unquote friends outside of like school.
Well, we were freshmen in high school, right? In 1998. This movie is pretty infamous between us because it was just the two of us. Like the whole our other core group of friends, they weren't there. It was just the two of us. And when the movie was over, something very we did something very infamous. What did we do when the movie ended?
We both looked at each other with shock and awe and said, "What happened?"
Yeah, what? Like that kind of a...
And we walked out of there smiling and laughing and having a good time.
So we liked it. We liked it back in 1998. 13 years ago, we really liked this one.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Yeah, I that makes sense. I mean, this is the kind of movie that, 14-year-old me would have really enjoyed. Like, really would have gotten a kick out of it.
Yeah,
like
I think that's accurate. I think this is the kind of movie, like Independence Day, that... At the time when you're a teenage boy,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it seemed really cool, but you know, you grow old, you see some more serious movies and loses its luster.
Okay, Kevin, so it's been 13 years since we've seen this thing. What did you think of Lost in Space?
Well, I think at the time I enjoyed it, but I mean, this time it was almost unwatchable. I mean, really early on, I made a mental note that I was already regretting that we had chosen to do this and relive that magical day back in 1998.
Yeah, this movie was definitely a lot more fun in 1998. I wasn't really feeling it.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of the movie, let's just talk about some of the actors that are in this movie.
Okay, you know who actually I think did a pretty decent job with the lame material he had? Gary Oldman.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Gary Oldman, that guy is a chameleon, because whenever I see him, it takes me a couple seconds to recognize him. It's like, is that Gary Oldman?
Yeah, and then you start running through all the things you've seen him in, and it seems like every character he is, it's something completely different
completely
from the last
different.
One.
That man is an actor.
Yes.
That is a true actor. Like, I'm looking at pictures of his roles now, like as Commissioner Gordon, and like he was Count Dracula, and all these different things. It's like, man, this guy is Sirius Black. That's usually what I remember his as.
Anyone who could pull off Sirius Black and Commissioner Gordon and pull him off as well as he does, I mean, that's real acting talent.
Yeah, he's fantastic. In the same year, Gary Oldman was in Lost in Space and The Fifth Element. I like The Fifth Element, by the way.
I highly disliked that movie. Highly disliked it.
Another It's That Bad alumni is in this movie. William Hurt, the supposed hater of fat people. What'd you think of his performance in this movie?
I mean, generally speaking, he's pretty good in his movies, but I think he was brought down by the collective bad acting of everyone else that was in this film.
That is a pretty good theory. That's not a bad...
I mean, you can't go toe-to-toe with Matt LeBlanc and not be brought down a few pegs. That one scene where they had like that little standoff.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, they both just hammed it up.
Terrible. They're pretty bad. William Hurt. I've made clear. I'm a William Hurt supporter. I'm a William Hurt fan. I like him.
So you hate fat people?
Just because I like him doesn't mean I subscribe to his ideology. You're right. There were some line readings from him that were pretty bad. Like when he was like, "We got to go through the planet," you know, that stuff. Like yeah. that was pretty bad. But Matt LeBlanc, you are a Matt LeBlanc supporter, aren't you?
I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm a supporter.
You're a Friends fan. Don't deny. You have the box set of the whole series in this house.
Yes, that's true. I do own. Yeah. Again, this isn't me. I didn't actually go out and purchase this and.
Possession is 9/10 of the law or whatever. Now, you've got a little fun fact about Friends and this movie.
Yes, well, Matt LeBlanc, to everyone's surprise, wasn't the first choice to play Major Don West. He's actually apparently the third choice, according to IMDb, and the second choice was his Friends co-star Matthew Perry, which I think would have given this movie a completely different tone.
Him and Heather Graham had this kind of flirtation thing going on throughout the whole movie. That was so tiresome. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was so forced, so annoying.
And again, there's another actress. I use that term loosely. Did not act well.
No.
I'm not sure I've ever seen her act well, but this definitely wasn't her showcase.
Lacey, is it Chabre or Chabert?
I have no idea. Right. I don't think I've ever heard anyone actually pronounce it.
Aloud, right? Not even her.
Like. No.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm going to go with Chabre just to spice it up. I distinctly remember back in 1998 thinking to myself, wow, this girl is cute.
Yeah, I was right there with you.
Do you remember what I was talking about that? Like, this girl is cute. Little did we know what she would become. Oh my God. She is fucking gorgeous now. If you want evidence, go see Mean Girls.
Yes.
Wow.
Best part of that movie.
Oh my God, she is gorgeous. They made her look like shit in this movie.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like,
well, they gave her like short, punk rocky type hair.
Ugly looking hair.
But it
pale.
She, was...
she had like this pale makeup, like she was dead.
Yeah.
Really ugly, like slutty clothes.
She was really young though.
Yeah. Oh man, the sound of her voice in this movie.
It was really annoying.
Really obnoxious. She definitely grew into it because like today, I think her voice is really sexy. Like it's.
I mean, I guess it speaks well to us that we don't think she's cute now, watching her at that age.
Yeah, I guess so. Again, I don't want the FBI confiscating my hard drive. Yeah, you know, one of the things I thought was silly in this movie was Dr. Robinson, the father. He makes a really big point of saying the reason we're bringing the kids along on this trip was to keep them safe or something, right? To be good parents.
Well, they were going away for...
10 years.
10 years, right? I mean, so they go there, it takes 10 years. They come back, it takes 10 years. They'd miss the kids, 20 years of their kids' lives?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's they wanted to keep their family together.
I guess, but I'm going to put this argument out there that... To bring your innocent 10-year-old, you know, these children to a hostile, unknown planet environment with, by the way, these people are traveling into an unknown planet alone. Why are they alone? Like, regardless that the whole ship is automated, right? They said that the whole thing is automated.
Yeah.
Even still, you still need people to repair the ship. And who God knows what's on the other side of this wormhole, right? It could be anything. Why didn't they bring like the army with them instead of just one soldier? Ridiculous.
That's a really valid point. I mean, I even question, what were they going to do when they got there?
They're like, going to terraform it or something. Like, just push a button? Why would they even need them there then? Just send robots.
I didn't understand because you need another gate there, right? They need to build a gate at this Alpha Prime planet in order for people from Earth to travel there. Right?
Yeah.
That was the point. They're going to set up a wormhole, basically, between these two gates.
Uh-huh.
But were the Robinsons supposed to build that thing all by themselves?
I guess. You saw how big it was in the beginning of the movie? It was like the size of a gigantic, like...
Yeah, and there's like a whole crew spending years and billions of dollars building it, and then they're just sending the Robinsons on their own to set up this other gate. I don't know how that gets built.
That's a bit of a plot hole. A minor plot hole. Why even send people at all? Send a robot.
I guess if there's one thing I'd want to go back to in the beginning... When they get onto the ship.
Yes.
The uniforms they were wearing. They looked like they were straight out of Batman and Robin.
I was thinking that as well.
One of the things, I mean, the only thing they were missing was the nipple outline on the chest plates that they were wearing.
That's a really good point. One of the things I was thinking about was whenever they make like space suits and space armor like that, they always put breasts on the women. Like, why? What is the point of that? Why don't they just make it uniform? No, we got to show off the boobs. Even on the 14-year-old girl, she had individual breast-molded chest plate.
Yeah, yeah. It's really weird. I just don't understand what advantage that gives you in space travel.
Space, right?
Yeah.
You had a bit of an issue with the the design of their spaceship as they were going off into outer space.
Yeah, well, they're launching this thing into outer space from the top of a building, first off, in the middle of what appears to be a major city, and it's shaped basically like a dinner plate.
It looked like a pie pan or something.
Not aerodynamic at all. You know, you expect it to be shaped like a missile or something, but somehow... Yeah. I guess the rockets were so powerful, it could deal with the fact that it wasn't aerodynamic at all and lift right up into space. And then apparently that whole structure was just a casing for the ship, which then disintegrated as soon as it got into space.
Yep.
And then the ship could fly off from there.
You know, I'm willing to make the case that pie pan, that UFO-ish design, would work in space. Because once you're... spaceship is in outer space. There's no such thing as aerodynamicism. It can be whatever shape you want it to be.
No, yeah, I agree.
So like the Borg cube, whatever, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But to get out of orbit, yes, it needs to be aerodynamic. like the surface was completely flat.
Yeah.
It would have so much wind resistance against it.
It was gigantic. It was gigantic. It wasn't like it was small, so you could say, all right, we'll get away with it. But it was huge. The ship takes off, and Dr. Smith sabotages the ship.
And then the saboteur got sabotaged himself because he got double-crossed, and he got left behind. That's the only reason why he's there. And the robot goes wild. And quite possibly the stupidest thing in this movie happened. When the robot is going wild and shooting lasers everywhere, Matt LeBlanc jumps 20 feet in the air onto the robot's back. How tall was that robot?
It was at least 15 feet.
And he jumped well above it.
Yes.
And on top of it. And there was nothing around for him to bounce off of.
No, there was no trampolines present that I had noticed.
So that I thought that really had my eyes rolling. I was like, what is this? Like, what am I watching here?
At first, I thought he was going to be effective because he was jamming his hand inside the neck of the robot and pulling wires. And for a second, it looked like he was going to take down the robot instead of all of the scientists that know how to apparently hack into it with little more than pressing a few buttons and then controlling it like Dr. Smith did, going to rip the wires out. And
yeah,
and
I thought so too.
Luckily, he wasn't successful.
It didn't work out. Matt LeBlanc didn't pull through. The moment that they were lost in space and they knew that Dr. Smith was the one that engineered this whole thing, if I was the father, if I was the doctor, I would have airlocked that guy, put him in the airlock and blast him into space right then and there. Right? Wouldn't have you?
You mean you wouldn't have trusted your 10-year-old son to be the sole guard over him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they give the little 10-year-old boy a gun. Here, guard this murderous, duplicitous, untrustful guy. Guard him. Go ahead. Unreal. Like,
no, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know how they didn't just murder him.
Right? Yeah.
Right, I mean, then and there. Right,
like, this is Wild West rules, right? You try to kill my family.
Absolutely.
That's it. You're done. You're gone.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, Matt LeBlanc was a soldier. And yeah, he made that promise, that loose promise not to kill him. But, I mean, what purpose did he serve?
No.
They weren't going to get anything from him.
Well, I mean, theoretically, he was a doctor, right? But, hold on. So they send this family into deep space and none of them have any medical training? Fuck that. No way.
Wait, I thought that the daughter was a doctor, right? I mean, she was monitoring their vitals and things like that.
She's an engineer plus an MD. She did double duty. She wore two hats.
I'm sure she was.
Okay, fine. She's a super doctor.
Exactly.
Then Dr. Smith is redundant. Kill him.
Yeah.
It would have saved us a lot of time.
Exactly.
Speaking of time, this movie is 138 minutes or something like that, right? A movie like this 88 minutes max.
Agreed.
Right? Especially in 1998. This movie should have been 88 minutes or 90 minutes maximum. We do not need 2 hours of this.
I mean, even just from the studio's viewpoint, the shorter it is, the more money you generally can make out of it.
You can save, right?
Well, you can save and get out of it because you have more show times.
No, see, that's a fallacy right there, because we know for a fact, if you look at the top grossing movies, they're all 2.5 hours long. Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, you know, all these things.
Yeah, so, but you're talking about movies that have an established fan base already.
Yeah, but the idea that the shorter the movie is, the more run times you can have. You can pack the theater over and over and over again. It's not true. Titanic is a really long movie. Avatar was a really long movie. It doesn't matter. That's not true.
I guess. All right, well played. Speaking of Titanic...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We almost forgot about this.
It should be noted that Lost in Space was released April 3rd, I believe, 1998, and was the first 1998 released movie to come in first place in the box office.
In 1998?
Yes.
Because?
Because Titanic, released in 1997, was so dominant, it had come in number one for 15 straight weeks. Throughout March of 2008, it was still the number one movie at the box office.
I'm also part of the problem as well. Really quick story. I went to go see Titanic twice because on the second viewing, I wanted to sneak into Wild Thing, starring Neve Campbell of Party of Five fame and Denise Richards, who was also in Starship Troopers. I think that might have came out around the same time. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see, you know, some boobies. That was my goal. And I failed miserably because they caught me and they're like, get out of here, kid. So I ended up seeing Titanic twice.
Well, you still got to see the boobies.
I didn't get to see. Oh, in Titanic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, this Lost in Space was actually nicknamed the iceberg because it finally brought down Titanic's reign.
Okay, so right immediately after this, then comes the really memorable thing in this movie, the real selling point. This is what got people in the seats, this shot, when they were like, oh, we're going to crash into the sun, so let's use the warp drive and blast through the sun. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason why they become lost in space, is because they just end up randomly somewhere in space. But when they go through the wormhole, they do like a bullet time thing, right? But this is pre-Matrix.
I think you're right.
So that's kind of interesting from like a cinematic history point of view. It didn't look as good as the Matrix. Like, they look blurry as the camera was rotating around them in slow motion.
Yes.
So they used some kind of different method to get that effect. Mm-hmm. But that was, I would definitely describe that as a bullet time effect, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Everything slowed down. Everyone froze in midair and the camera panned, like rotated around them as they were going through the wormhole.
Yep.
That's like the most memorable shot in this movie. Probably the best effect in the movie. But it looked good. It did look good. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what did not look good. when they got lost in space, the first thing that they saw was like a... They thought it was like an alien spaceship, but it was really a ship from Earth, from the future.
They just kind of landed somewhere in space, and luckily there was this hole in space, is what they called it, and just went right through it like it was nothing. There's no second guessing. It was just a very cavalier attitude.
That's right. There's like a there's a space time anomaly, a rift in the universe, and Matt LeBlanc is like, whatever. And he just flies. He flies his ship right through it.
Yeah.
Right?
There's no discussion.
Right.
He doesn't consult with the doctors and the geniuses on board. He just goes for it.
Not just that, but there's an alien ship or possible alien ship, and they're just like, hey, what? Let's go on it.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, they never really stop and think, should we take this next step?
I think the screenwriter should have asked himself that question. Like, should we have done this? Because, no, it wasn't a good idea. So they found this ship from the future, this derelict ship floating in space, and they go inside of it. And the first thing they encounter is this ludicrous-looking alien. It's like a monkey.
A monkey with 6 nostrils and suction cup fingers.
Suction cup fingers. It had like this, its eyelids were vertical. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of an effect that was Men in Black. If you remember in Men in Black, there was an alien in that movie that blinked the same way, where it was like not horizontal like a human, but vertical blinking. Like an alien.
Yeah, it was the guy that Will Smith chased
was chasing
on the
down.
Roof, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's how he blinked like that. So that's how this alien blinked. And it was a fully CG
creature. Now, I am almost certain that when we saw this movie back in 98, we probably thought that thing looked great.
It blew our minds.
Yeah, we were like, oh my God, that's amazing. I watched that thing now, and it is atrocious. It's poorly designed. It doesn't even look like it's in the same scene as the other human characters.
Nope.
The lighting on it is a joke. Terrible. But you can say, like, oh, hey, don't be so rough on it. It looks, you know, it was 1998. Hey, look at fucking Jurassic Park, 1993.
Yes.
Some of those CG dinosaurs still hold up today.
Are we to assume that when they docked with that ship, alien life had not been contacted at that point?
I guess so.
But they found this alien and just treated it like they found a regular Earth monkey on this plane.
That's a really good point.
They didn't really make a big deal of like, oh my gosh, alien life form.
That, you know, not just that. I wrote this down in my notes. Okay. Why on earth would they bring this alien life form onto their ship, the monkey?
It was cute.
Alien life form equals bad. Why would you bring this alien thing on your ship, this fucking monkey thing? Pointless monkey thing.
To study it? They did limited studies on it.
They're lost in space. They can't take unnecessary risks. They have to survive, right?
They're scientists.
Oh, okay. Their primary mission should be trying to get back home, not...
Okay, if you're in their shoes, if you're going to live, you're going to live, right? So why not take it with you?
Because it could sneeze on you and give you the super AIDS and everyone dies.
I guess, but... I mean, what is your chance of survival at that point anyway?
You do whatever you can to survive. So that monkey thing, chameleon monkey, very bad. It was only upstage like 10 minutes later... when they're walking down the ship and all of a sudden these spider creatures appear out of nowhere, right?
They were metallic, silicon-based spider life forms.
Wow, you're really paying attention because that
was.
Went right over my head.
I didn't even write that down. That's from memory.
Wow. They looked horrible.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was really terrible.
Okay, so immediately after these spiders appear, like they get off the ship, they have this the harrowing escape, blah, blah, blah. Matt LeBlanc blows up the ship. And for some reason, the ship flies down to a planet and Act 3 begins. This is when I think the movie takes a huge nosedive down a cliff.
I'd agree with that.
Once it goes down the planet.
Yep.
First off, I want to say that I don't think they needed to go down into that planet at all. Like, they were well away from that explosion in space.
I think it appeared that way, but they were saying that the explosion kind of, you know, threw them out of whack there, and they kind of just fell into that planet's orbit. That seemed like what happened to me.
I'm not impressed. He looked like he could have flown away, no problem. They go down to this stupid planet, and then they crash, and now they're even more lost in space, you know? Like, so they go down to this planet, and what the hell's going on? There's like they don't have enough fuel or whatever to get off the planet, and there's like a time dilation bubble. And now, I am a supporter of time travel. I like time travel plots. That's a well-documented thing about me. But then, was it needed? They go into this time travel subplot after this. Mm-hmm. Was that really necessary for a movie like this?
No, absolutely not. I had that same issue with... Didn't they do something with time travel in that latest Star Trek movie?
Yeah, they did.
And it seems like something they tack on. I think if you're going to do time travel in a movie, it's got to be the whole movie.
Yes.
It needs to be fully developed. Kind of like a movie that I love, and I know you do too, like Primer.
Yep.
I mean, it needs to be... You need to have the whole story devoted to that. Time travel is not something you just deal with lightly.
Time travel is too complicated of an issue. Like, you really have to devote stuff to it. They did a little foreshadowing in the beginning because apparently 10-year-old Will Robinson developed the time machine in like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
He won first place in the science fair with it.
Yeah. So he got a blue ribbon at the science fair instead of people should have been like, wow, you just changed everything we know about science has changed now because you invented a time machine, but I guess nobody cared. Okay. So when they're on the planet, they go through this time dilation bubble or whatever, and they go like 20 years into the future, and we find out that everyone's dead except for Will Robinson. The future Will Robinson is there. He built his time machine, and it turns out Dr. Smith, he was scratched by one of those spiders and it mutated him just like Spider-Man,
instead of getting radioactive spider powers, he turned into this horrible looking CG.
Just metal.
Metal.
Multi-armed, multi-legged human being.
If it looked like anything, it reminded me of Reptile in Mortal Kombat, the movie. He kind of looked like that. Yeah, he looked terrible. He looked really bad. I thought his cloak looked cool that he was wearing.
Yeah.
But his face, bad. Then we got the best line reading in the whole movie was when the future Will Robinson, like the they redesigned the look of the robot in this movie and it got blown up and then future Will Robinson fixed it and the fixed version looks like the robot from the 60s TV show.
Yeah.
And so young Will Robinson goes up to the robot and he goes, act with your heart. Don't you remember? Friendship.
He definitely asked him to use his heart and to remember their friendship.
There were palpable groans and moans in this room when that went down. That was pretty terrible.
And it was successful. That was the worst part. Worked. That was the worst part.
It worked. It saved the robot. That's a load of horse shit. Like, I don't buy that. Whenever I see stuff like that, like, programming is programming. Machines are stupid. They can't break from their programming. If you tell it to do this, it's going to do that. You know?
Yeah.
So that's, I hate that shit.
I mean, that was evident, right? In the movie, like, if the robot could choose, he wouldn't have, in the very beginning, been allowed to...
on a killing spree?
Yeah. Then, you know, Dr. Smith wouldn't have been able to control him, hack into him, and tell him, kill the Robinsons.
Fuck. Stupid. Yeah. Dumb. It's revealed that the time machine that Will Robinson built works, and we see really far back in time to when the mission started, before all this chaos went down. So Dr. Smith is killed. He falls into the machine, and it rips him apart. Horrible special effect. And future Will Robinson falls, and then the father comes up, right? And this upset me big time. Rather than jumping into this time machine, going back to the very beginning and making it so none of this ever happened, instead they only jump back 10 minutes and the father jumps in and he only goes back 10 minutes or something or whatever.
Well, right? I think the reason for that was the father was concerned that it would rip Earth to shreds, right? Didn't he say that? He told Will, don't do it. You don't know what the effects could be.
Okay.
It's ripping apart this planet. What happens if you go back there?
I guess it did kind of rip a hole.
It did destroy that planet.
All right. Okay. I'll give you that. What happens to future Will, by the way? What happens to his timeline?
That's a really good question. I mean, it doesn't really get... I guess it would get altered, right?
Would it get erased? I don't know about that.
I don't know. Maybe he just dies, right? Because that planet is being destroyed.
Yeah, and his future planet is being destroyed, so...
But the only reason that he was there was because they didn't get off the planet originally in his original timeline.
So he just blinked out of existence? He's gone?
I mean, I guess that depends on what your theory on time travel and multiple dimensions is.
Again, the movie didn't care.
No. Yeah.
So we shouldn't care either. We shouldn't look into it. Right?
I struggle with this personally.
Yeah?
Because as soon as his timeline's altered in any way, wouldn't everything change?
Theoretically.
So it's almost like some of the events wouldn't have even happened that took place.
I guess so. But you know what? Here's another thing. Had they actually gone back to the beginning and made it so that they didn't do the mission at all, that would have been the worst of all, wouldn't it? Like, what would have been the point of the whole movie, right?
Yeah, I think that would have been really hard to swallow for the viewer.
There would have been screams. Like, we wouldn't have gotten, what? We would have, like been really in a rage.
Yeah, I mean, those endings were kind of erases everything that took place and
they suck.
There was no point even watching anything that
yeah, they suck.
That's gimmicky. Takes away from everything. It was kind of pointless. I'm not a fan of those kind of endings.
As they're leaving, the planet is blowing up and they do the classic, like, let's fly the ship through the planet. And they do this thing that we've seen a billion times before in movies where they're flying their spaceship through a canyon and all that BS. Now, they fly their ship straight to the core of the planet, I think.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Wouldn't the planet's gravitational pull, like, smash the ship to pieces?
It's breaking up. I don't know if that has something to do with it. It's not like it's a whole planet with a hole through it that you're just driving through.
It still has mass and gravity.
Yeah, I mean, again, we got here because they engaged their hyperdrive and skipped into space. I mean, there's a willing suspension of disbelief with this, right?
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is what I was thinking when they were flying through the planet. Why didn't they just turn down their hyperdrive again and fly through instead of having to go through this stupid...
That's an excellent question.
I was thinking that. I was like, okay, click, clack, paddywhack. You push one button and then you're out of there. No. Why did they even waste their time? And they were like, we don't have enough fuel to get out of it orbit. You don't? Push that fucking hyperdrive button and get out of there.
Yeah, does that not use fuel?
It wasn't an issue, because when the planet collapsed and they escaped, it caused a black hole. And the last shot of the movie, the thing that caused us to go, what? Was like, oh no, we're going to get sucked in the black hole. Okay, click, he pushes one button and they hyperdrive out of there. No big deal.
And then that's it.
That's it. End credits. The end.
And you're kind of just left wondering, when's the next episode start?
What's next? What was the point of all that? What's going on? There's no resolution. Nothing was resolved.
For all we know, they just came out on the other side in the middle of a sun and
died,
were disintegrated.
Or they went to Earth and that's the end.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like you said, like they thought that this was going to be a success and they were going to make their money back and they were going to make some sequels.
Yeah, everyone was signed on for 3 movies.
But that didn't really plan out. Would you have wanted to see more of this? Lost in Space 2?
You know, I think at that point I would have.
Yeah.
I would have.
14-year-old me would have seen a sequel.
They left you hanging. Right? I mean, no matter what the quality of something is, if they leave you wanting more, you still want more. So you'll go back for it.
Yeah, that ending was unsatisfactory. That's what I'll say.
Agreed.
I think we've said just about enough on this movie. Let's see what the real critics had to say. Lost in Script, Carlo Cavagna of aboutfilm.com. One expedition that should have been scrubbed long before the final countdown. David Sterrett, Christian Science Monitor. A hodgepodge of influences and devices without its own look or effective narrative structure. Rod Granger, Film Journal International. And Roger Ebert gave the film 1.5 out of 4, calling it a dim-witted shoot-em-up. Critics didn't like this movie. It has a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. Kevin, is it really that bad?
Yes, it is that bad. I mean, it's... The acting was terrible. The story didn't really make any sense. And again, like I go back to the fact that this is supposed to be the future. Some things were really advanced technologically, and some things are already outdated today. I think they could have, I don't know, maybe used their imagination a little more.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, like not every movie can be Minority Report where they can predict like the future that accurately. You
With a
give
little
them some
effort,
leeway.
You could.
So, okay, Kevin, on a scale of 1 to 5, what do you give this movie?
I'll give it a 2.
You're going for 2?
Yeah.
I did not like it, 2?
That falls into what I categorize a 2 to be.
Okay. If I could give this movie a 2.5, I would, but I can't.
I was originally going to give this movie a 3, but now that I've had more time to think about it, I'm going to go with a 2. Okay, let's read some listener mail. Alex wanted to chime in about the Twilight episode. He says, "You guys are right on point. No need going point for point as you guys hit them all. Yes. Being a male is certainly not our demographic, but I believe we could all still appreciate a good movie, regardless, right? That's why I don't buy the argument that many have, that men just don't understand that the Twilight movie is a masterpiece." Next up, Kevin has something to say about the Vanilla Sky episode. Kevin says, "I loved this movie when I saw it back in the day, and I just have to say, if this movie had been made today, in the age of critics, in my opinion, giving Inception way too much credit, I think it would have been received much better." Well, you know what, Kevin? I kind of agree with you. Although, I liked Inception a lot better than you did, apparently, but we live in a world where Inception and Lost have been readily accepted by popular culture. So yeah, if Vanilla Sky came out today, it probably would have been accepted a lot better. Thanks for the emails, guys. As always, you can reach us at yeahitsthatbad@gmail.com. Okay, great. Keep sending in those emails, guys, as well as your movie review recommendations. We've already received some great ones from Amber, Lance, Robin, Lita, Chris, Rhonda, and Casey. Keep sending in your recommendations and we may review them on an upcoming episode. Okay, the next movie we shall be reviewing is 2010's Legion, starring Dennis Quaid and Paul Bettany. This is that movie where those guys fight a bunch of killer angels or something. This movie is currently available on Netflix Instant, so you can play along with us at home. Have you already seen Legion? If so, I want you to stop whatever it is you're doing and send us an email right now. Did you love it? Did you hate it? We want to know. Please send us your review of this movie and we will read it during the next episode. And finally, I want to introduce a new change to the show. Going forward, during every other episode, we are going to review a movie chosen by you, the listeners. All you have to do is go to yasthatbad.com and vote in the poll that can be found at the top of the page. You'll be able to vote until the following Monday, and I will announce the winner when the new episode comes out on Tuesday. This will give you a week to watch the movie and play along with us at home. All the movies that will be eligible for you to vote on will be available on Netflix Instant, so it should be easy enough for everyone to participate. The first three movies that are eligible for our first ever Listener's Choice episode are as follows. When in Rome, starring Kristen Bell. The Proposal, starring Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. And Grown Ups, starring Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, and Kevin James. You have until Monday to decide. So, to recap, next week's movie will be 2010. Legion. If you've already seen it, or if you watch it before the next episode comes out, please email us your review and we will read it on the show. Our email is yeahitsthatbad@gmail.com, or you can go to our website and use the contact form. Please go to yeahitsthatbad.com and vote in the poll to decide what movie we should review after Legion. Your choices are When in Rome, The Proposal, or Grown Ups. And of course, if you enjoyed what you've just heard, please subscribe to the show. Please leave us a positive review on iTunes. And finally, visit our website at yasthatbad.com and share the show with your friends by liking us on Facebook, talking about us on Twitter, or sharing the show via another social media site. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
I wrote down specifically here, Matt LeBlanc sucks, question mark.
Why was there a question mark?
Because I wrote it really, it's one of my first notes, so I wanted to be sure.
Does that same sentence appear later with a period?
Yeah. No, an exclamation point.